down here with stress or attitude, because this is the perfect place to lay it down. I know I came with a little bit of stress and attitude, and I'm like, Lord, take it right now. So now's the perfect time to say, Father, I just pray, Lord God, that you just give us complete peace, Lord God, everything we're going through. Have us not to worry about anything, and have us just focus on worshiping you, Lord God. I pray, Father, that right now you are the center, Lord God. Nothing else is on our mind. And if there's anything, Lord God, that you want to speak to us or share with us, Lord, Father, I just pray that all of us right now have just that open heart to hear from you, Lord God. Help our flesh to die down, Father, so we can hear anything that you might want to teach us. Father, that we have a hunger for your Holy Spirit to guide us, Lord. even if we have that flesh that wants to do wrong things, Lord God, and it happens all the time, Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit is even stronger in us, Lord God, and we listen to that voice, Lord. That we make those choices, Father, that you want for us because you love us as a father and you want the best for us, Lord God.
Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool. If you consent and obey, you will eat the best of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. Truly the mouth of the Lord has spoken.
And Lord God, as I said when we first started singing, Lord, I just pray, Father, help us just to lay every burden down, Lord God. Help us not to try to fix things in our own strength, Lord. You know, as we read about the Israelites and how they had to keep going around the desert, and, you know, we think, come on, why don't you guys just get it, you know? But how many times do we try to fix our own problems, you know? Sometimes I think the Lord's just like, come on, when are you guys going to get it? It's a little ironic there, but I pray, Father, help us to learn quicker, Lord God. We're never going to be perfect, Father, and you don't expect us to be. But, Father, help us to learn from our mistakes and from your guidance, Lord. Help us just to lay down everything that holds us back, Father, so that we can get rid of the training wheels, Lord God, and just be able to keep going. free me of my selfishness, Lord God. Any anger that's in the Lord God, because I know I have it. I pray, Father, that I get freedom from these things, Lord. And I thank you for all the things that you've given me freedom from so far, Lord. And I want more, Lord God. And I pray that for everyone here, Father, that we just give our full heart to you, Lord. Help it to be soft so you can teach us, Lord God. And when we mess up, Lord God, like we probably will do daily, Lord, have us to repent quickly, Father, so we can keep that softness, Lord. Reminds me of when I was rebelling, Lord God, and when my life was just in shambles. Father, I heard your spirit. I wish I would have listened to it sooner, Lord God, but I do thank you, Father, that you just kept speaking to me. You didn't want to let me go. No matter how far I ran away, Lord God, I chose to give my heart to you, and when I would disappoint you, you'd speak to me, and I thank you for that, Father. And I pray that for those that are here, Lord God, that might be in a life, Father, that you're not choosing for them, Lord God. You love them, and you want freedom for them, Father, but they're choosing not to listen to you, Lord. I pray for them, Lord God, right now, that they will want freedom, Father. And that when they hear your voice, Lord God, they'll listen. I could run away, you would never leave, you would always stay right by my side. I could run away, you would never leave, you would always stay right by my side, right by my side.
Everything I ever wanted.
Father, I thank you for your unconditional love, Lord. We have freedom from condemnation. We don't have freedom to do whatever we want to do, but we have freedom from not having to feel that condemnation and feeling that unconditional love that the Lord has for us. I thank you, Father, that you're always going to love me, Lord God. On my good days and on my bad days, Father, you're there for me. Father, we just pray that you lead us today, Lord God. And as I prayed earlier, Father, help us to have soft hearts and ears to hear, Lord God, that anything that you want to teach us, Father, we want to be ready and willing to learn it, Lord. And hopefully the first time. We give you this day. Amen.
Oh, he pulled that jack up. Incoming, yes.
We're very casual.
Pulled jack out of the mic, I think.
Mr. Carl.
Hey, we're going to take a minute. Oh, thanks. Mic's not working. You guys can hear me. There we go. We'll get the stuff working. I just got a card that just says, Pastor, and we're going to take a minute and we're going to pray again. It says, please pray for Dennis Jeffries. Thank you. Please pray for Dennis Jeffries, who's in critical condition at Lake Hospital after a motorcycle injury. Severe damage to the brain and body. We're going to take a minute and pray for Dennis right now. Father, we just want to lift up Dennis up to you, Lord God. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, we pray together as a body in Jesus' name for him, Lord God. We pray, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would comfort him, that your presence would be right there, Lord, in his heart, in his mind, Lord God. Lord, that you would be right there with him, Lord, that you would be comforting him, Lord, that you would be holding his hand, that you would be rubbing his head, Lord, that you would be wiping his tears, Lord God. We pray, Lord, that you would be a blanket of protection over him right now, Lord God. Lord, and I don't know all the situation. We don't know all that's going on, Lord God, but we know there's a lot of hearts right now that are just breaking over him right now, Lord God. And we pray for healing, Lord. We pray that you would rush, if it's your will, to supernaturally to heal him. We would ask that. We know that you are the God who heals, Lord. That's what you say in your word, Lord. You are the God who heals, Lord. We ask for that healing in Jesus' name, Lord God. We ask that you quicken the doctor's minds, the nurses, Lord, if you would choose to do it naturally, Lord. But however you choose to do it, we ask that you would protect him, Lord God. We ask that you would heal him. We ask that you would comfort him. And we ask that you would speak to him, Lord God, even in his heart and mind, Lord, and whether he's unconscious or conscious, that you would be speaking to him, Lord, and he would know it is the Creator God of the universe that is reaching down and speaking to his heart and mind right now, Lord God, that he would be responding to you however he needs to respond, Lord God, in all things, Lord. We're asking for this healing for him. We're asking for this comfort. We're asking for your presence. We're asking you to blanket him with protection right now, and that you would heal this family, Lord God, and that you would be with them, Lord, as we were singing together every step of the way. We ask that right now together, Lord, as a body, Lord, in Jesus' name. And if there's others here, Lord God, today that are hurting, Lord God, or things that are going on in their hearts and their lives, Lord God, that you would remind them, as you remind us, that you are our ever-present help in times of trouble. That you alone are our rock. You alone are our refuge, Lord God. We can count on you, Lord God. And so we ask in Jesus' name, with all the suffering and with all the pain and with all the just darkness of the world, that you would just magnify your light in us all the more, that we would not grow weary in doing good, Lord, but at the proper time, Lord, we would reap a harvest if we don't give up. And so, Lord, let that fire burn in each one of us brightly, Lord God. Push out the self, push out the selfishness, that we would burn for you all the more in this day and age, Lord. We pray your blessing upon each person here. You know the needs. You know the hurts. You know each one of us. You've knit together us in our mother's womb. You know every hair that's numbered on our head. Lord, would you meet us right where we're at? Lord, would you take over this service, Lord God? Whatever was planned or not planned, Lord, we give it to you and we trust you, Lord. We love you. And we ask that you would minister somehow to us, your needy people. We don't ask this because think we're something amazing, but we ask this because we're humble. We realize we're poor, we're naked, we're wretched without you, Lord. But through you, we can do all things, Lord God. We are children of the living God. We love you, we bless you, and we praise you in the mighty, awesome, powerful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. I was going to say you may be seated, but... There's a couple things that we want to go over really quickly too, and so that I make sure that I don't forget with my little pea brain, this thing is on. Okay. Well, we're going to trust the Lord today. Normally we go through verse by verse through the scriptures. We've gone through the book of Mark from beginning to end. We've gone through the book of Nehemiah. We've gone through the book of Titus. We've gone through the book of Samuel. In this service, we've been going through the book of Romans, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, so that we can understand what the Word of God says to us individually, every verse, every chapter, in context, so that we can be built up, strengthened, encouraged. That's what God wants us to do, so that we can go out and strengthen and encourage others with the strength and the courage that He gives us. He wants us to know His Word, not just a chunk of it, not just a passage of it, not just a soundbite of it, but all of His Word, so that it can flow out of us like living water. And so that's what we do, and we're going through the book of Romans. I believe the Lord is might be leading us in a different way, so we'll see how that goes. Just today, and we're just going to trust Him with it. But I want to say thank you to the Weaver family. I don't know where I saw you guys in here, so I'm like, yes. Thanks for opening up your home. This is a great time, and I know it's a lot of work. And I think we only had one injury. Billy, where are you? Billy, how's your foot doing? Your calf?
I ended up going to the hospital on Friday, and I was supposed to go back to orthopedic the 10th, but I'm going to go see him tomorrow because the swelling and the bruising has gotten worse.
So he would play
all they did was slap his boot on me, and my leg has gotten worse.
All right, so we need to make sure we pray for you too. And those of you who don't know, we were playing a game of volleyball, and Billy's a big guy and came up for a spike. So that was really bad. It was also really even more humbling. After he went out, we our side still lost. So that was terrible too. But even more so, Lord, we just ask for you to heal Billy, Lord. We thank you for him, Lord, what you're doing in his heart, his life, Lord. We just ask that you guide him in his hands as well, in Jesus' name. But thank you so much for that. We're going to be able to ask him. Yeah, go ahead, man.
I don't know if you know that she was in a car accident.
Yes. Yes, they do. Yes, Sue Schrock talked to her last night. She did very well. Yes. Yeah, I didn't want to mention that because she said
her shoulder is still hurting. She's got to go and get an x-ray.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, I know. You know what? I talked to her last night, and she didn't want it. But anyway, that's okay. That's okay. But pray for her anyways. You can blame Wendell. Okay, so guys, just a reminder, Louis Giglio is coming to Woodland Community Church. You can buy tickets at Woodland. We tried to get him as a group. Unfortunately, that did not happen. But he's coming to Woodland Community Church on the 12th. And just encourage you to go for that. Also, the Kingdom Youth Conference is coming October 14th and 15th, and so we've got tickets, and so that's Friday night and Saturday, and I know there's a bunch of you signed up. If anyone here does not have, I think it's like $30 or $35, if anyone doesn't have tickets, any of the teens can't afford to go, families can't afford to go, talk to us. And this church body will actually pay for the tickets for you so that you'll be able to go to that. I know the former youth pastor of Hillsong is going to be there, and some folks from Acquire the Fire that were there, they're going to be there as well. Kim Kell's going to be teaching, and so it should be a good time. So we're going to be going back October 14th and 15th in Tampa. And so we just want to encourage you to come out for that. Also, we have some books we shared on this. If you hit the lights for a second, would you mind doing that? Now, whenever we talk about spiritual warfare, I know we gave away a bunch of these at the youth group, and so we didn't have enough for here. So if anybody, this is probably one of the best books. It's a fictional book, but if anybody has not read this, if you're going to take the time to read it, we'll gift it to you in Jesus' name. We just want to equip you and encourage you in the Lord. You got to read it. All right. Can you pass one back there, Dara? Thanks. Okay, we got a couple more over here. Yes. Oh, okay. Okay, anybody else want one? Okay, good. Let's get there, Roger.
Pass it back. I just stepped on it.
God made you. George, can you pass right behind me, that lovely young lady?
Yeah.
Anybody else? Do you see anybody? Okay. Also, we have a couple more. Gary talked about The Jesus Style by Gail Irwin. And you're okay. Yes. Okay. Jesus Style. Anybody else want one of these? They didn't get one? Okay, Amber Lee died.
There we go. Well, I knew she wanted
how it's powerful.
There you go.
When you have the bad and the good on.
Yes.
How it shows virtue and
leaders.
Have you read?
And things like that. It really shows me that it's real.
Yes.
And prayer, we need prayer.
Yes.
You know, especially in
groups. Yes. How many here has read This Present Darkness? Raise your hand. Okay. How many? Yeah. And Bill, hey, don't forget, Stephen, I got your audio. Yes. How many would raise your hand if you think it's like one of the best books on spiritual warfare that you read? Look at that. See all the hands up? That is definitely worth the time. Definitely worth it. Yeah. So, okay. All right, also, a few people have asked about different sermons lately about them being online. And, George, I'm going to ask you, I think in Romans, we are in, we're around verse 17. We did an entire hour a few weeks ago, about 3 weeks ago, on Romans chapter 8, 1. It was a fantastic God-led teaching. And so that, I believe, is online now. Also, is the one about the adoption, last Mark's, is also online.
The bean pot.
Yes.
Huh?
Bean pot. Yes.
Yes, at the Home Fellowship Church website. Yep, that's there. You can download it for free. Jesus' name. Mark did a great job on his teaching.
Yeah. I do have a question regarding that. I might be asking too much, but is there a way to get it to where we get it on our phones? I just want to get it like on the laptop or an iPad, but oftentimes when I'm driving around, I can't get the audio.
Oh, you mean the audio?
Yeah, the problem.
Yeah,
I don't know if he experiences the same thing, but when I pulled it up online, I showed you, right? I think, Neil, we can't move it over.
No, you can't.
You can pull
it
up, but you can't move it, so you can't click on the play.
Okay. All right. Yes, we can work on that. I don't know how, but when I say that, I mean they can work on that. So if there's something that we need to get, or, yeah, we can do that. I don't mind. If there's an app or something.
See me after service, and I'll address that issue if I can.
Okay, awesome. Okay, and so, and then there's the one on adoption last week. Was that not just a powerful world word?
Yes.
That was, and you know what? Honestly, you know, and to think about that, and that message, how God, and some people want to know, is that online as well, George? I'm sorry to ask, is that
Excuse
online
me?
As well?
I'm
the
sorry?
One, the one from last week on adoption. How God adopts us. The last teaching, is that online as well?
Last week's, yes.
Okay, awesome. How about First Kings?
Yes.
Oh, man, you're good. Okay, so anyway, all that's online. We'll work on the mobile app.
And your blooper reel, too.
I just want to encourage you to do that and to check that out.
Hey, Darren?
Yes, sir?
Your bloopers are up there, too.
My what?
Your bloopers are up there, too.
Bloopers.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Great, George. That's nice. It's a really long.
That's nice.
Yeah. 4 hours.
Oh, man. Oh, did Mark's get deleted? Mark's teaching for the other week. All right. Okay, so we just want, if you guys want to join us, you are welcome to come here early Sunday mornings for prayer, 9:30. We just love to have you just praying over this body of this community. We'd love to have you. Now, if I understand it correctly, there was just a wonderful baby shower.
Yes.
It's a wonderful time, right, for Amanda Panda.
Yay.
And if I understand it correctly, you're about to have a baby.
No.
And so... So, what we're going to do for youth, because if I understood, what we're going to do is we've normally met it on Wednesdays from 6:30, 8:30 for, I don't know, years. And so what we're going to do is we're going to wrap that for the next 2-3 months while they're having this baby and getting settled. We're wrapping that up into Thursdays because we're going to be doing a Thursday barbecue, family barbecue Bible study here. And so we want to wrap that in. So everybody just come out if you can to Thursday nights for the next few months to give them some time to, I don't know, have a baby, whatever.
There's no pressure.
And so that's why. So Thursday night starting this month, okay, barbecue and Bible study right here every Thursday, okay? We're going to be going through... Every other week, we'll be going to the book of 1 Kings. How many were here for that 1 Kings study for the first one? Was it not a great time? Listen, I just want to encourage you. If you want to go a little bit deeper in the Word, deeper in the Lord, this is the one to go to. Okay? Don't feel pressured to come. You know, there's nothing. We don't want you to feel guilt or whatever. It's just we're going to have dinner around 6 o'clock. And you can bring a dish to share. We'll provide the main food and drink. And then... every other week, we're going to be addressing a topical like fear, anxiety, how to address it biblically, how to address, you know, whatever, marriage, children, addiction, biblically. Yes, yes, yes.
You said that the first week is online? We can listen to that online?
Yes, you may. Yes.
Will all of them be recorded then? Or
yes, to the best of my knowledge, they will because of George and Tom.
Awesome.
Yes. So, okay.
This is every week, not every other week?
Yes, it's going to be, this Thursday is going to be every week now, starting in October.
Yeah.
So, again, there's no pressure. If you want to come out, come out. Love to have you. If not, it's okay. Yes.
So last week's Wednesday was it?
Yes, if I understand it correctly, is that right? Okay.
Say again?
So, and also, too,
yes, sir.
Is it temporary? Because, like I was saying, you know, because, like, my kids, we have games every Thursday, so we
yeah.
will, you know, that deletes
yeah.
us now.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Well, you
so
can.
That's not permanent.
Yeah, that's not. That's the plan.
No, it's not
yeah,
permanent.
The plan is for the next few months. But, yeah, I'm open to whatever the Lord does. I mean, He might rearrange your schedule. He might say, whatever the Lord wants. But that's the plan for right now. But everybody's invited to that. Yes? Oh, yeah, there is a child care, but if you guys want to bring the kids in here, as long as they want the Bible study too, they are welcome to come. And so.
They'll be out on the playground.
Yes.
No, I'm not.
Also, Gary?
Yeah, we're gonna go over what happens when you don't pay attention to what God wants and don't repent and turn around.
Okay, and that's going to be...
And some good food, too.
And so, okay, and that's going to be on Tuesdays, okay? That's going to be this Tuesday, 6 p.m. So Tuesday, you can come, guys, for the Bible study. Thursday, everybody can come for the First Kings study. And you're welcome to come out for that.
Well, surely if you're a member of this church, you will never go hungry.
You will never go hungry, that's right. Never go hungry here and for the Word of God. Okay. Hey, I wanted to make mention, I heard from Paul and Marcia Crowley. You guys remember, they come here multiple times. It's always been a blessing. Hey. Wow, that's weird. That's fancy, but I don't know a lot of stuff. But that's the only thing. Okay. So for those of you who don't know, they do training to the pastors of the least in the slums of Africa. They actually have a ministry right in the middle of these slums with millions of people. And they provide clear expositional teaching. And he wrote us this this letter here, okay? And I just wanted to share it with you. For those of you who don't know, we provide Bibles for all the pastors that are being trained up. Brand new Bibles. And so that's what we've done multiple times. And it says, Pastor Darren and Lisa, we hope this finds you well. It seems like a long time since I was visiting. It's hard to believe it's only been a few months. We are doing well, and the Bible schools are continuing in a marvelous way. We're studying through the book of Revelation and Exodus this semester with another glorious enrollment of over 200 pastors and ministry leaders. That's who you guys are supplying with the Word of God. That's where stuff like your money is going. It's amazing. And then he goes on to say, at the end of the semester, we expect to be graduating another wonderful group with their diplomas. Thank you for your most kindness and hospitality. That's all you guys. And your encouragement during my visit. Marcia is still in her recovery from the surgery, but is doing well. Thank you for your prayers and intercession for our family and for the pastors. Mm-hmm. We were just able to view some of the reports, and we found the generous gift from you and from the saints at Home Fellowship Church. Thank you very much for your sacrifice, speaking of you guys, your generosity and your kind hearts. We purchased 40 English Bibles, another 10 in Kiswahili, and gave out 25 last week to those new students who passed their first semester in July. Wow, you should have seen their smiles and hearts and their hollers and hoots for the Lord. It is most helpful in our discipleship when we can get the students on the same Bible version as the remainder of the class. But anyway, but surely these pastors cannot afford the luxury of a second or a new Bible. And so thank you for answering the call. It was a great pleasure to fellowship with all of you and hope to see you again as the Lord wills. And they're saying that they're praying for us and our fellowship here. Thank you guys for being such a blessing to others in Jesus' name. All right, well, we're in Romans 8. George, were you able to get, where's Tom? George, were you able to get that working?
I've got it. We've got to get it copied onto the system for you if you can just bear with us for a couple of moments.
Yeah. You know, yes, go ahead, Ms. Weaver.
I have an update on Sidler's.
Yes, actually, you know, if you want to do that, that would be great. I was going to do them next week.
Oh,
yes, go for it. No, please.
I just got an email yesterday.
Okay, great.
So, Peggy and Lester in Africa are trying to sell their home so they can come and live back here in the States. They've been over there for 40 years, and they're ready to just come to Florida. So we've been praying for them to sell their home, which right now in Zimbabwe, the banking system has crashed, so there's chaos going on. And they do have somebody from England who's very interested in their home, so they've asked us to pray over the next week that this could happen, because it can't be done in Zimbabwe funds. It has to be done in other funds because of the banking system, so... they asked us to pray for that, and they also got an update on their health. They had some blood work done. I don't know what was going on, but everything has come back great. So praise the Lord for that. He just needed to have a little more zinc, I think. So other than that, just keep praying for them. They're hoping to be home. They said that they don't think they're going to be here by Christmas, although that was originally what they were kind of hoping for. So.
You take a minute, would you pray for them, and Paul Marshall, would you just lead us in a prayer? I know, guys, but we're just going to do it anyway. You know, we love them, and honestly, miss them, you know. Miss their presence here, you know. For those of you who don't know them, wonderful people in the Lord. I just love their hearts for the word and for others. So would you just
great singing voices too.
Thank you, Father, that you have said that when you do it to the least of these, you have done it unto me. So, Father God, we do lift up Paul and Marcia and Peggy and Lester as they're in the muck and the mire of passing your word along to the least of these, Father. We just pray for provision for them right now. We pray for safety and protection. We pray that you would give them hope, Father, that you would help them wake in the morning, Father, feeling a sense of hope and excitement for what you're going to do in their lives, Lord. And we just ask that you would just send your angels to minister to them today, Lord. Help them know that they are loved and that they have been prayed for and they have been lifted up to you, Lord. And please help us and remind us as they come to our minds to just call upon you for them on their behalf, Lord God. And please, we do pray for the Silers, Lord. Their desire is to slow down a bit and come back to the States, Lord. We just pray that would happen for them sooner rather than later. Yes. And that you would sustain them in the meantime. And that you would give them a peace as they say goodbye to the land that they love, Father. And we do love you, Lord. We give you this time. Father, we thank you that you are here in our midst with us. And we just ask that you would open our hearts and minds, Lord, as we listen to your word. And that you would help us put all these distractions aside today. Jesus.
If you don't know Paul or you don't know Lester and Peggy, you can also listen to them and their teaching online at our website. It's great teaching. Each of them did a fantastic job. You know, guys, I don't know if you've felt this too, but when I'm looking around at people, I don't know if the Lord is just opening my eyes more or stirring my heart more, but you know, the Christian life, in the one sense, is the most amazing, fantastic, incredible, empowering thing ever, and in another sense, is also the most heartbreaking, difficult. Now, hear me out here. And I say the other because when the Lord opens your eyes to the spiritual warfare that's going on, the Lord opens your eyes to see. You start to care. When he's working in your heart, you start to care about things that you've never cared about before. You start to realize things that you never realized. Debbie Jo, when you said you read that This Present Darkness, you didn't even realize all the battles that were going on around you. You didn't even realize it. When God starts opening up your eyes to things or teaches you things in the Word that you didn't know before and is trying to plant that Word deep in your heart to grow, and God's growing that, there's responsibility that comes from that. And there's decisions to be made. And so, and I say that, lately the Lord has just been showing me, and my heart's been breaking. I've been going places, and I'm an observer, okay? I used to say I watch people, but that creeped people out. So now I say I'm an observer, okay? Like, I listen to what they're saying. I notice what they're talking about, it, and my heart's been breaking. When I'm seeing there is so much blindness and hurt and masking, but it's desperation. There is so much death. You know, the Bible says in Matthew that broad is the road that leads to destruction. And most are on it. But he says narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. And folks, that road is narrow. And if you find it, he says, how much more should God be stirring our hearts to make a decision? Your actions have an effect on other people. Do you know what I'm saying? Your decision to follow Christ has impacted your life. Right? Mm-hmm. And it's impacted your family or those around you, your friends. Your decision, even now, as you sit in here, how am I going to follow Christ? Do you know what I'm saying? Am I going to let that sin just kind of soak in? And am I just going to stay there? Or am I going to live all out for the Lord? We all have decisions to make, and time is short. How much more right now do we need to be seeking the Lord while it's still today? Because there's a whole bunch of people heading off to darkness. You know, in Joshua, he said something that was really cool, and you see it on sometimes in people's homes, but how real is that to you, and how real is that to me, where he says, you know, look, he's talking to his people Israel, and he says, you know, listen, if you want to follow the gods, you know, cross the river, you want to do that, go do it. You know, I'm not stopping you. You go do that. But if you want to follow the Lord, do it now. He said, I don't know what you're going to do, but I need to make a decision. As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. But we need to make that choice and to make that decision. Because no decision is a decision. Does that make sense?
Yes.
We're going to, each year, I've showed one of these, usually one a year. And this is from Franklin Graham. And so we're just going to take a quick detour today. And, you know, we're going to play this video. And honestly, I came here and I always forget, whenever we teach on spiritual warfare, there's so much stuff that goes on in the background that you guys don't see. So many attacks, personally, corporately, it's off the charts. All the more, read those books, draw near to the Lord. We're going to watch something from him that he did this year. It just came out, I just got it. And so we're going to watch it, and then we're going to ask if you guys have any comments afterwards. I want us to talk about it. So we're just taking a quick detour just for today. Next week we'll be back in Romans finishing up. There's a really important thing in Romans that we're going to go over. And so, but I'd like us, if the technical stuff works out, because it wasn't earlier, and I was like, Lord, whatever you want to do. So, George, would you mind grab those lights? We'll see if it works.
Life is full of decisions. Some don't seem like a big deal, but a choice you make, just one decision, can change your life forever.
You can make one choice, and it can affect you throughout your whole life.
I felt like I didn't want to be on this earth anymore.
Professor, are you crazy?
And I started thinking that I really made the right decision.
Unfortunately, many of the decisions that you make in life can never be reversed. If you had only known what was around that corner, you might have made a better decision. No matter what your decisions are, all decisions have consequences.
Good afternoon.
today because our nation is in trouble. We're in trouble spiritually, racially, economically, politically. And there's no political party that's going to turn this thing around, okay? But the only hope for this country is Almighty God. Decisions coming up for this critical election. But there's a decision that all of us have to make that's even more important. Today, you can make a decision.
Listen, kid, I don't remember ever being told there was a decision to be made. I spent 6 years hiking 48 mountains. People say I'm a pretty determined guy. They pick up my grandson, Cody, and we hike rain or shine. It's definitely a bonding thing. Ready? Years back, when I was at night school, we had classes in theology and philosophy and existentialism. During that time, I started really asking, well, is there a God, and who is he? The answer I eventually came up with was that there wasn't any God. And I remember the day that I said it, I was standing in my office, and I said, there is no God. And it just, something came right out of my chest like that. And I just ignored it. And I said to myself, I'm just going to keep on going.
I saw that he was coming to Tallahassee. Oh, I was excited for that. When I started cooking for the kids, it was just, for me, it was exciting to serve them. Their face lights up. They'll run to me, good morning, Miss Lourdes. Oh, I love it. I love my child. Teachers here, they make me feel I'm part of the family. We laugh, we move. But there was a problem. There was something inside of me that no one knew about. My first thought is, what are they going to think of me? 40 years that I hold on to this secret, that I didn't tell anybody what I have done. I made that decision to bury that secret inside of me. I heard of the Decision America tour, but I wasn't able to go, and I started watching it on my phone.
I describe myself as not the average girl. I'm not the one that likes to get all dressed up with makeup and get my nails done.
She appears quiet, and you know, but once she gets to know you, she really opens up and tends to want to help out and get involved in, you know, what everybody's doing. She's got a good heart.
I like to go out and shoot my guns and be outdoors and do a lot of outdoorsy kind of things.
She definitely felt like she didn't fit in. She liked to hang out with the boys and do boy things.
A lot of kids make it hard. They like to be mean. They like to pick on you. They like to point out every little flaw that you have. You feel like you have to fit in a lot. When you're going to school and you're being picked on every single day, it made me feel worthless and lowered my self-confidence.
God so loved the world. Isn't that wonderful? He so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but should have everlasting life. And if you had been the only person to ever live, he would have sent his Son from heaven to this earth to take your sins, because he is a God of love. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of forgiveness. He loves you.
When I heard him say, God is love, God is merciful, that touched my heart. Because no matter what, he knew my secret. He still loves me. He loves me.
We all have made bad decisions. I've made plenty of them. In life, we have a problem. And that problem is called sin. sin is disobedience to God's standards. All of us have failed God's standards. And we see evidence of sin wherever we go. Why do we have military? Because of sin. Why do we have police force? Because of sin. Why do we have car alarms? Because of sin. We're all guilty of breaking God's law, and there's a penalty for breaking God's law. If you drive too fast, one of America's finest is going to turn his lights on and pull you over, and you're going to get a ticket. You can go to jail. But you see, the penalty for breaking God's law is far more severe. The penalty for breaking God's law is death. And the Bible says that we've all sinned, come short of God's glory, and the wages of sin is death. I don't know where to begin when we think of the sins of our country. So many. I think about abortion, same-sex marriage, pride, the worship of money and profit and big business, racism, lack of care for the poor. Our entertainment in this country is about sex and violence. Takes one sin, only one infraction of God's law to keep you out of heaven. Only one sin. God is holy, and he has to separate himself from sin, and he separates himself from sinners because we have broken his laws. But let me tell you something. God sent Jesus Christ on a rescue mission, and he came from heaven, but he died in your place. Your decision today is between two paths. It's between life and death. Jesus said, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide that leads to destruction, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it.
My supervisor had called me on a Tuesday, and she was like, what, we have any dance? I'm like, okay. I really wouldn't expect anything out of it. But once I got there, and he got to talking, it was like, wow. Something came over me. It's like he was talking to me in so many ways. You know, I was clubbing like every weekend, gambling. I wasn't going to church that often. I wasn't praying like I used to. I had to make a decision that I had to change my life.
You've got a choice today.
In like sixth grade, the bullying was like very bad, and it was just beyond what I could handle. Kids didn't want to hang out with me, they'd call me names, and they would tease me a lot.
She was just kind of not being herself. She was throwing up every day. She just really just kind of shut down and didn't want to go to school, didn't want to see people, didn't want to do anything. We were really concerned of Molly and how she was feeling inside.
I didn't really tell anybody, but I wasn't sure I wanted to live anymore. I just wanted to leave and just go away.
As an atheist, I just felt that Christians were silly people that didn't understand the world. But something happened that had a big impact on my life. My grandmother got brain cancer. I went to her room and told her in her bed that we had to be practical, that she was going to die, and that was all there was to it, and left her right there. And she died 2 or 3 days later. Not right away, but over time, I started looking again for God. And I started to think, I fully believe there is a Halley's Comet. I kept wanting to go see it, and never did. And I said, If I can believe the newspaper that there's a Halley's Comet, why couldn't I believe the apostles that had lived with Jesus and seen his miracles? I started really asking, well, is there a God, and who is he? And how does Jesus figure into this?
There's only one way that leads to eternal life. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You say, but Michael, why Jesus? Because Jesus Christ is the only one in history to come from heaven to this earth. And he took our sins, your sins, and he went to the cross. He carried our sins to the cross where he died in our place. We deserve death. He was buried for our sins, but on the third day, God raised his son to life. Jesus Christ is alive. He's not dead, he's alive, and he's right here today. Everyone has a decision to make concerning life and death.
I didn't feel like I should live. I eventually changed schools. I started going to a Christian school. There was an announcement about the Decision America tour, so a group of four of us went up. But I saw all those people at the rally. I knew it was where I needed to be, and it felt really good. It was interesting at first, like, because he started talking about politics, but then I kind of zoned out. But then he talked about, like, making a decision so you would know where you would go.
The decision is between two futures. It's either heaven with Almighty God, or it's hell, separated from God for eternity. And hell is a real place. But remember this. Can't remember anything else. Remember this. God loves you. He loves you. But if you reject God's plan of salvation, he has no choice. When you stand before him to be judged by him, he has no choice but to banish your soul to hell for eternity if you reject his salvation. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, then after this is the judgment. Oh, you say, but Frank, and God is a God of love. He is. That's why he sent his son Jesus Christ to this earth, because he loves you. Jesus Christ took our sins because he loves you. This is God's great love. But he's offering salvation. He's offering forgiveness. He's offering cleansing. But you've got to be willing to accept it.
When I heard those words, I already believed in Jesus. But how he said it, I knew I didn't have to keep hiding, but I have to willingly accept him in my heart. The secret that I was holding, I didn't tell anyone ever. There was a time that I was depressed, and I would sit down on my sofa, and I would just cry and cry and cry. When I heard Franklin Graham say that Jesus loved you, it just made me feel I need to repent and follow Christ.
The Bible says God demonstrated his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What's your decision? The decision has to be made by you. It can't be made by your mom or dad. It can't be made by your church. It can't be made by your girlfriend or boyfriend, grandmother, grandfather. You have to make this decision. Jesus said, I've come to seek and to save that which is lost. Are you lost today? Are you forgiven? You're going to heaven? You say, Franklin, I think so. No, I've had people say, Franklin, I hope so. I'm not talking about hoping so. Are you sure? Are you sure?
I was standing there in the Capitol, and this one question stuck out in my head. Are you sure you're saved? And I wasn't. I had to think, years back, we were invited to a Sunday service, and I accepted Christ as my Savior during that service. But it had been 18 years since we've been to church, and he asked, "Are you sure you're saved?" I didn't know what to say.
The Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And you see, the decision was urgent. The Bible says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." You see, if you go to the airport, you go to get on the plane, and you're sitting there trying to make up your mind. Well, I might get on there. No, I think I might not. If you don't make the decision, a decision's going to be made for you. That plane is going to back away from the gate, and it's going to leave you standing there, right? God is offering forgiveness. He's offering salvation. But you've got to be willing to accept it.
What Franklin said at the rally really gave me hope. I really understood. Jesus has died on the cross so he could take our sins away. And so I decided to pray the prayer along with them.
That day, Franklin explained salvation and called on everyone there to pray to have their sins forgiven. And I did. I'm free. Free. God poured it into my life. My grandson, he'd never been to church before, so we've been going every Sunday.
You know, you come to the meeting for one thing, but you turn out a whole different person. Franklin prayed, and I prayed with him.
It just hit me. I needed to repent.
I decided that day to live for Christ. I wanted to really commit and change.
As Franklin said that prayer, I prayed along with him to repent.
I've never heard anyone say it like that before. When I prayed, it felt like a cinder block was kicked out from my chest. It felt like I could fly.
Say amen. God is good. Because he heard my prayers. And he hasn't left me. I didn't want these kids to go through what I went through. This secret that I have, I needed to share it. The next thing I knew, I was standing in front of this church to tell my story. When I was there, in front of the youth, my son AJ, boy, I was shaking. I just broke down. I have no words. And in my head, it's like, don't speak, don't say nothing. Go back.
You can decide whether you're going to serve yourself or you can serve the God of heaven.
I had to take a breath. That's when I knew that he wasn't leaving me. Jesus, he was there with me. At the age of 14, I found that I was pregnant. I had an abortion. It was a secret because of the shame and the guilt. But God wanted me to come out of it. I stood quiet because I felt intimidated. Because I didn't know how people would take it. God worked in me. God forgave me. And he's still working in me. I felt that elephant, it was off my shoulder. I felt that relief. I told them with Jesus, just knowing that he's there and the joy, didn't want to let it go. His love is different. His love, I can't tell you how wonderful it is, how big it is. For the first time, I don't feel scared. I have this peace. It feels good inside.
Call is urgent. What do we need to do? We need to repent. name of the Lord Jesus Christ and trust him as your Savior and follow him as Lord. You see, repent means to turn and go the other direction. Are you willing to turn and go the other direction? And you say, but Franklin, you don't understand that. I just can't quit. I just can't turn. I can't stop. I can tell you right now, when you invite Christ to come into your heart, the Holy Spirit of God comes in your life. He'll give you the power. He'll give you the strength.
Decision. I found a church family and a wonderful youth group, and I've decided to get baptized this summer.
She came back a changed individual, and she had a ripple effect on us. We've all made the decision as a family to commit to follow Christ and to be baptized.
Sins forgiven. If you'd like to have a new life and a new beginning, you can just pray this prayer with me right now. And this prayer is just simply talking to God. And you can just repeat it after me, and God will hear. Let's pray. If you'd like to pray that prayer, do it right now. Dear God, I'm a sinner. I'm sorry for my sins. Forgive me. I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe that he took my sins to the cross, that he died in my place and shed his blood for me. And I believe that you raised him to life on the third day. And I want to invite him to come into my heart right now. And I want to trust him as my Savior, and I want to follow him as the Lord of my life forever. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember this. God loves you, and he's forgiven you. You've got a new life and a new beginning. Trust him and obey him. God bless you. Thank you.
Amen.
Anything God's speaking to you? there anything God's bringing to your heart? Is there anything that God's bringing to your mind as you watch this? Maybe not. But maybe God spoke something to you.
Just a reminder, too, that you know we don't have to be perfect, or if we have to be ready or be at that stage to be able to accept Jesus into our hearts. You know, he's going to take us now the way we are and the baggage that we have. We don't have to prepare ourselves to make this decision before him.
That's good. That's a really good illustration. You know, I just think about, you know, some people, well, I can't get on the plane. I got you know, too much baggage. You know, and Jesus is saying, just get on the plane with all your baggage. You get charged, I'll be your baggage handler. Get on the plane. Because there's going to come a time where I'm going to fly away in glory. You know? I just think of that song. By and by, I'll fly away. I don't want anyone to be left behind. God doesn't want you to be left behind. You know, if you happen to come here on this day, you know, there's a reason and a purpose that God got you here today and that God showed you that video, because this is not what we normally do. So maybe God is speaking something to you if you have not made that decision, if you've not humbled yourself and told him and bent the knee to him. Maybe he's saying to you today, if you're hearing God call you, don't harden your hearts. I could care less if you joined this church. You're not here to follow me or follow this church or follow the Fellowship Church. You are here to follow the Lord God through his Son, Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. He's a dad. He's wanting to adopt you in his family. He's saying, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, he says, because I am humble and gentle at heart. He wants to lead you in the way you should go. And that leads to life, an eternal life. And God is calling you, and he's saying, don't harden your heart. Come to me. And you know what? In that parable of the prodigal son, and when the son came back all humble and broken to the dad didn't say, well, I don't think you're broken enough, or I want to hear your speech. You know what the dad did? He ran to the son. He ran and embraced him. And he adopted him right back in the family. Gave him the family ring. That's what God wants to do to you. He's not out to get you. He doesn't hate you. He hasn't forsaken you. He loves you. And today is that day. You cry out to him. Everyone here who followed the Lord Jesus Christ has humbled themselves and has done that. And those who have done that have a different life.
Not an easier one.
Not an easier one?
No.
I'm not going to tell you that everything's going to be healthy, wealthy, and great. I'm not going to lie to you. Jesus said, in this life you have troubles and tribulations, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And greater is he who is in you than he was in the world. He will come and give you himself. He gives you his Holy Spirit that comes to live inside you, that'll take and change the way your nature, your thoughts, away from sin and towards him. He empowers you, just like he was saying. And maybe there's some of you here today too. Maybe there's some of you here today, oh, you're a believer. But maybe you're not following him like you should. And maybe God is speaking to you. Make a decision. Time is so short. People are dying and they're being pulled in the opposite way. God is saying to you, get rid of that sin. Throw it away. Make the decision. Make the fall commitment. Follow me. And I just want to encourage you to do that.
I'm really shocked going home because he's been going around all these states like he did. God's doing something.
He's crying out for his people.
Yes, he
is. Even more than ever.
Yes.
I think
Yes.
I think for me too, it's just really reminded me of how the Lord set me free and has healed me from so much. And what am I doing? You know, we are ambassadors of Christ. I'm just watching that all the hurt. You know, we live in a nation that is full of sin, full of hurt. You know, and what are we doing? I get so distracted by Josh's day, going to the store, you know, where I look at my wife sometimes, and she's not distracted by those. She's always sharing. You know, but for me, I just it was just a reminder. There's hurting people that need Christ. You know, that that we can be used to share that gospel with them. You know, not to distract by the things of this world. Forget that we are ambassadors. That really struck me. You know, Lord, just use me in my daily activities, you know, to share your love and that people can see the freedom that I have. And that really just struck me hard.
For me, what really got me on the film was the young lady. She said she felt like she didn't belong here and she wanted to just go away. That's how I feel. But I had that thought to give me up. And he did. So I've been late for a long time. And I related to her when she said that she didn't belong here. And I thought about my family. When my family gave up on me, and I said that I should just go ahead and just leave the world. But I asked God to forgive me and just lift me up.
Don't freak out. Yes.
You know, sometimes we think, and myself too, well, I had my mom pray for me, I had my dad pray for me, my pastor prayed for me, or someone else prayed for me. And you think sometimes, well, you know, if the Lord Jesus Christ himself would pray for me, it would make a difference. And you know what? I got some good news. In John chapter 17, starting in verse 18, this is the Lord Jesus Christ, before he goes to the cross, his last high priestly prayer.
Nice and loud.
Says, as thou hast sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they themselves may also be sanctified in truth. Here it is. I do not ask on behalf of these alone. He was speaking of his disciples. But for those who will believe in me through their word. That is this word right here.
Right.
Jesus is praying for us before he goes to the cross. In his word, but that they may all be even as thou, Father, art in me, and I am in you, they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you did send me. If anyone here thinks that if the Lord Jesus would pray for me like that, I could make that decision. He did.
That's right.
You know, the Bible, and you can.
That's right.
Right now.
That's right. The Bible says he lives to intercede for you.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that amazing?
Good.
Anybody else? Yes.
Darren, I just want to say too that I think the Lord is telling us too, as Christians, we should be the most loving people to the world. You know, not accepting your sin, but you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
Love the sinner.
Yes.
Because, I mean, I've heard people say that, you know, Christians are the most self-righteous,
hypocrites,
judgmental. And I think the Lord really is showing us, you know, how lost people are. And we need to not forget where we were once.
That's right.
And be more compassionate, be more loving to the lost souls and help bring them. So we don't want to push them away from the Lord because of that judging them.
We all came with all the baggage, didn't we? He received us. And then you guys look at me now, oh, it's the pastor. And you, well, if you knew stuff in my life, then, wow, I didn't know that. That's where each one of us were at one point before we came to know the Lord. Neely.
On Friday at my work, we all received an
email that there was a young man at our work that took his life. And I just talked to him the night before.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a first for me. I've never had a coworker do that. But it's been kind of eating me up inside. I never shared Christ with him. And we don't know what's going on in people's hearts and lives. We just see whatever, however they speak or whatever they share when they're there, but we don't know what's really going on. And I feel guilty. I have been sharing Christ with others. We don't know when we're going to die. 10 out of 10 people die. So they say it's true.
Yeah.
And every day, there will be people die. Maybe not that much, but you know what I mean. That's scary.
It is.
Well, I want to say two things. Thank you for sharing that and being honest.
Yes.
You know, and I think many of us have been in a place like
absolutely.
That. And so the first thing that I would say is remember, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The enemy will want to use that to condemn your life, and God wants to use it to stir your heart, to love and good deeds. And so I've got something here. Listen, I know sometimes sharing your faith is easy, sometimes it's hard. If anybody wants to grab, I've got DVDs from previous years here. I'll put two of them up here, okay? One of them, you guys watched last year. Did you remember the value of a soul with that military guy? Was one of them. And then also that motorcycle girl. And then what was that guy's, that one that was rapper? No, that was another. The previous year. I can't remember this other. What was it?
It was
a really. Anyway.
Stop and think.
There's this one. It's Value of a Soul. That one's up here. You can go grab one. Maybe there's somebody at your work that you could just say, listen, you know what? You know I'm a Christian. I'm just going to just watch this. It's 20 minutes. I'm just asking. Could you give me your opinion? Or can you just watch this? I want to put this in your hand personally.
That's a great idea.
You know, this way, and then if you want to talk about it, you can. You know, and then here's one with the other one. This one's with Billy Graham, and that has a kind of a folky, more Lecrae, the rapper, and it also has another young lady, another singer. They're both excellent. I'm going to leave these boxes up here. Go ahead and take one if you want. And then if we need to get more, we'll do it. And the hope is, I still want to blanket this neighborhood with the gospel.
People came and listened to him. And most of them, a lot of them weren't saved, but because he happened to come, and he's doing what he's doing, people are being saved. That's why I said, God's doing something. He's touching lives. He is moving.
Yes.
He is moving all the time that Graham would take off and go around the state to state. At a time when the political part of this world is so messed up, you know, we don't have anybody who wants to run to be president, and it's just all messed up for him to stand up, you know, with God and go from, you know, to all 50 states and teach and tell people about God. So many are going to be saved.
God is the only one who's going to save a person's life and save this country. He is our only hope.
Yeah.
No political party, no person. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that not true?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. There's nothing else. I'm going to leave these up here. You can take one or two of them. Please don't take them. Make sure there's enough. But you can grab them in Jesus' name. If you want to know where to get them, you can give them for $1 each, and I'll show you where online. And so just let me know, okay? Is there anything else before we close out in prayer? Anybody wants to say? Dino, it's a blessing to have you here. Let's pray. Father God, we just want to say thank you for today, Lord. And thank you for whatever you're speaking to each of our hearts, Lord God. Lord, you know us so much. Lord, you know us so well, Lord God. Would you stir up our hearts? And maybe you're even doing that through the word today, or through a message that somebody gave today, or through this video today, Lord God, as we took just a little break, Lord God, from Romans. Lord, I pray that you would stir us up to be reaching out, Lord God. I thank you for the words you gave through each person here, Lord God. I'm thinking of Kelly's word, how even with this increase in pressure, Lord, how love is being squished out of people. And Lord, so Lord, we're asking you to fill us up by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord. Fill us with your love afresh, Lord, that we would run it over, Lord God. And that would bubble up inside of us and spill over. Do whatever it takes to have that happen, Lord God. And help us, Lord. Thank you for Neely sharing, Lord. We don't know what's going on in someone's life, Lord God. Can't just be what they say. Help us to show you and to speak you and to give you away to others, Lord God, so that you would seek and save those that are lost. Bless your people today, Lord. And if there is anyone here, Lord, who wants to be giving their life to you, Lord, I pray that they would pray that prayer to you, Lord, and they would come see one of us, Lord God, and we would help them to be able to follow you better, Lord. So, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you would bless this congregation, Lord God, with a heart that's sold out for you. As for me and my house, I will serve you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And listen, one last thing before you guys go, don't forget. We got Tuesday men's Bible study, Thursday Bible study and barbecue, guys. And listen, two things before you go, if you would remember, to also to pray for Dennis Jeffries. And last but certainly not least, if anybody wants to be baptized, I've got someone coming from the other coast. You guys remember the Boyd family? Some of you remember? They're coming from the other coast, and we're going to be baptizing their oldest daughter one of these Friday nights. If anyone here wants to be baptized, you let us know, and we'll make it good for you.
Pray for Sue.
God bless you guys. In Jesus' name.